Father God, we just thank you because you are worthy to open the seal and the scrolls. You alone belong to the throne. And we can come to you, into your presence, to worship you for who you are and what you have done. Father, we ask for your presence with us this hour and today and the week to come. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was fascinated by my study on Revelation last semester, which is why I wanted to share a little bit of what I learned with you guys. And I know that some of you are also studying Revelation in other ways. So having listened to chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation, I think there's no denying that worship is a central theme of the book. Yet I doubt many of us will have considered worship as the first thing that comes to our mind when thinking about the book of Revelation. For me, it was the end times, judgment, and Christ's second coming. Or some of you may be familiar with the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls, or the seven horsemen, with a different color representing a different meaning for each of the four horses. Or the seven letters to the seven churches. So we can see already that numbers, colors, and animals have significance and are symbolic in Revelation. Since we're talking about animals, Jesus Christ is mentioned as both the lion and the lamb in Revelation. But which one does the author pay particular attention to? The answer is, of course, the lamb who is worthy to open the scroll. In those days, the Israelites were conquered or oppressed by the Roman Empire, which embodied might and strength, and the Romans conquered with military victories. In contrast, Jesus demonstrated a different way of conquest, how to overcome evil with good, with suffering love. And God's people are called to do the same. So this is one of John's main purposes in writing Revelation, to contrast Romans' imperialism with what Paul calls elsewhere in the Bible as the foolishness of the cross. So before I give you an overview of the structure of Revelation, let us clarify what the book is not about. Apocalypse in Greek means revelation or uncovering. The book of Revelation in Greek is literally titled the Apocalypse of John, who is the author. Nowadays, we tend to associate the word apocalypse with catastrophe, and there are always people trying to predict when the end of the world will come. Now, while Revelation does talk about the future and the judgment or justice of God, it is not about predicting end times with precise dates or events. Revelation is also not about the rapture, which is the belief that the church will be taken away secretly to meet with the Lord before the Great Tribulation. So this concept originated from the early 1830s, and Revelation is written in the second half of the first century. So none of its original audience would have considered such a thing as rapture. This idea has been made popular in contemporary times due to books, such as Left Behind series and other forms of entertainment. While there are many ways to structure Revelation, I'm going to share with you a proposal from a scholar named David Barr, who considers Revelation as a story, a narrative separate into three movements. So in the first arc, we have the letter scrolls, where John writes to the seven churches in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. John encourages the congregation who are suffering to endure and challenges those who have gone astray in their idolatrous worship to repent. So this message still applies to all of the churches today. Why does John ask us to endure and to remain faithful? It's because we live in a time of evil, which I will elaborate later. In the second act, the worship scrolls, John begins by presenting a vision of the heavenly throne, which we read about in Revelation 4 and 5, and what true worship looks like. However, we know this has yet to become a reality on earth because of the many different characters who oppose God. We are introduced to these characters one by one in the final arc of the story. We have the red dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan. It was introduced in Revelation 12. We have the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth in Revelation 13. The number of the beast is 666, and together they form the unholy trinity. So the book of Revelation is a parody about the forces of evil who are pale imitators of the holy trinity. So if I were to write a book about Revelation, I would title it as "The Beast or the Lamb, a Call to True Worship in the Time of Evil." The time of evil is our present time, between Christ's resurrection and his second return. In Revelation, it's described as 3.5 years, or 42 months, or 1,260 days, depending on which translations you used. So 1,260 days is 42 months times 30, if you assume an average of 30 days per month. So remember how I mentioned before that numbers are important. Just like the number 8 signifies fortune in our culture, and the number 4 is unpleasant, as it sounds like death. To the Israelites, the number 7 represents perfection. So we have the 7 seals, the 7 trumpets, the 7 bowls, 7 letters to the 7 churches. Jesus Christ as the Lamb is described in Revelation as, I think, 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God. So 3.5 is half of 7, meaning a broken 7. It is the number given in Revelation to describe a period of evil. It is a concept, and it does not mean literally 3.5 years. So if 7 is perfection, 6 is imperfection, or short of perfection. So the number of the beast, 666, therefore denotes imperfection, imperfection, imperfection. So the unholy trinity is imperfect compared with the perfection that is the holy trinity. So yeah, so I'm fascinated by all these numbers and all these. So I hope that whet your appetite into the fascination of reading Revelation. And we've barely touched the surface, to be honest. Another phrase that you may have come across is time, times, and half a time. And for a long time, I really do not understand what it means. But it's another way of pointing to a period of evil. 1 + 2 + 1/2 equals 3.5. So both the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation mention this phrase. So now can any of you guess what the number 4 means to the Israelites? So elsewhere in Revelation, four winds, four corners, four directions. The number 4 generally implies earth or the whole universe, the created order. Okay, let us return to our passage today, worship in the heavenly throne, described in Revelation 4 and 5. So the songs we have sang earlier are inspired by Revelation. Worthy is the Lamb, holy forever, the Lamb of God. And if we compare Revelation 4 with Ezekiel 1, you can see many similarities. The heavens were opened. There were lightning. There were fire. 4 living creatures surround the throne. There were 4 faces described. One like a lion, another like an ox. One like a man, and another like an eagle. So together, these 4 represent all the living creatures within the whole cosmos. As a kid, I remember being amazed by the awesomeness of 3 creatures. Lion, king of the beasts. Elephant, king of the land, and tiger, king of the jungle. Or if you think about Chinese mythology, we have the dragon of the east, the Romanian bird of the south, the tiger of the west, and the tortoise of the north. So back in those ancient days, lion is regarded as king of all the wild beasts. The ox is the king of all domesticated animals. And eagle is the king of all birds. And we have humans because humans are important. But actually, it's what these four living creatures remind us is that humans are fellow worshippers alongside other creatures that God had created. So it's easy in our pride to place ourselves at the center of everything, forgetting that all creation worships the Lord and all creation exists for His glory. And we see this concept of creation and creatures worshipping the Lord particularly in the Psalms. In Psalm 65, the grassland of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks and the valleys are mantled with grains. They shout for joy and sing. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Wild animals, cattle, small creatures, fine birds, kings, rulers, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. So as a church, we should rightfully consider how to engage with topics such as climate change and other environmental issues. After all, it is in our mandate to look after creation. Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. That is to guard, to protect, and to watch over nature and creatures. So as we read along chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation, we see descriptions of an expanding circle of worship, beginning with the four living creatures to ultimately encompassing every creature in the universe. So in chapter 5 verse 6, then I saw a lamb looking as it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. Verse 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. Verse 13. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. So notice the mention of four different realms again. Heaven, earth, under the earth and sea. The number four represents the created order, the whole universe. The whole universe can worship God because of Jesus Christ, the slain lamb on the throne, who has reconciled all things to himself. The Apostle Paul writes, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And again in 2 Corinthians, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So for all of us here today, do we know this wonderful message of reconciliation? Our sins are no longer counted against us if we confess and accept Christ into our lives. So this is the gospel, the good news. And this is why we worship him, the one who is worthy to open the seal. I was reading this book recently by A.W. Tozer. It's titled, Whatever Happened to Worship, A Call to True Worship. And he also mentioned about worship and reconciliation. And this is what he has to say from Tozer. Having been made in his image, we have within us the capacity to know God and the instinct that we should worship him. God's highest desire is that every one of his believing children should so love and so adore him that we are continuously in his presence in spirit and in truth. That is to worship indeed. Something wonderful and miraculous and life-changing takes place within the human soul when Jesus Christ is invited in to take his rightful place. That is exactly what God anticipated when he wrote the plan of salvation. He intended to make worshippers out of rebels. He intended to restore to man and woman the place of worship which our first parents knew when they were created. So to end, I just wanted to share one verse from Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11. This is, for some of the scholars, they consider this to be kind of the central summary of the book, or the central theme of the book. And they, the saints, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. So as we listen and sing our responsive hymn later, think about what worship and revelation means. Can we go to the last slide? So it's about choosing the Lamb over the beast, staying faithful as servants of the God Most High, and enduring during a time of evil that is ruled by Satan and Satan's allies. Worship is about recognizing humans as fellow worshippers, for all creation worships God. Finally, worship in Revelation is remembering we have been reconciled with God through the blood of the Lamb. And that is why we can celebrate and share in the Holy Communion. So we'll do that responsive hymn.